Chapter 1, as we continue on in the book of Joshua, not getting too far, if you will. I already have 60 pages of notes almost, and we're only up to verse 9. we're going to read Joshua 1, verse 6, on down to verse 9 as we continue unpackaging these particular verses here. There's so much to unfold, I think, in this particular verses here. So we want to continue. There's a few more things, I think, to glean from it. I'm not trying to exhaust it, but there are some particulars that I think are still very, very instructive for us to consider and be helpful for us as we try to continue to learn the truths of God's word. So verse 6, be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And we've been looking at this passage here and how there's been a command that has been given to Joshua to be strong and of good courage. Been taking time to look at how can that be accomplished. How does that get done? Lord, you told me to do something. How do I go about that? Within our text, I think we're given two things that tells us how that can be accomplished. One of those we find in our text is relying upon and trusting in the help and the support and the presence of the Lord, that the Lord will be there with you and enable you and give you the power needed to be strong and courageous. And we look at the end of verse 5 and at the end of verse 9. But look at the end of verse 5 there with me, if you will. It's very, very important. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. So that's one of the ways that Joshua can be strong and of good courage, and how we can be strong and of good courage is relying upon, trusting upon that the Lord will be with us, and He won't fail us, and He won't forsake us, and He'll give us that strength and that power and enable us to accomplish His will. Secondly, we've looked at another way this is accomplished is by trusting in and depending upon the Word of God to rightly govern and guide each step of the way. That is brought out in our text as well, as how this book of the law, verse 8, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. And we've been taking time to look at that, is trusting in and depending upon what Joshua needs to do and what we need to do, is trust in and depend upon the word of God to rightly govern us, to guide us each and every step of the way. And Joshua, this is what I want you to do, and you can depend upon this, and you can trust in this, that this book, the words that I give you will help you do all that you need to do. We see that this can only be accomplished by meditating therein day and night. We've been looking at that, and hopefully you've learned some things. The Bible says there in verse 8, day and night. So we talked about that meditating, which is dwelling in and contemplating and meditating in the Word of God. And that it's not just supposed to be an occasional luxury or a little devotional read each morning, but it was to be a continual part of the believer's life, a continual part of Joshua's life. And I'm pretty sure I've mentioned this before, but consider Joshua for a minute. He is the one who's going to be leading this people, a very large congregation of people. You can imagine the undertaking that is. You can imagine the demand and the responsibility that would be on Joshua, all that would be coming his way day in and day out, all that he would have to deal with But the Lord still tells him to meditate therein day and night. So I would just say to you in passing that don't ever think that in life, you know, you life is just so busy that God doesn't want you to because you're too busy. And I know that was brought up in prayer and I'm not bringing it up for that reason. But what I'm saying is just consider that these leaders of God, the leadership that God has placed these people in, he's still telling them, listen, Joshua, you need to meditate therein day and night. You need to be continually given to my word, continually reflecting upon my word. The weakness of God's army today and their inability to stand as they should is a direct reflection of how little time is given to the manna from heaven. That's why the army of God, the soldiers of God are very weak. And it's very much indicative of how little time we give to that manna. Notice with me, we'll come back to Joshua just real quickly here, Jeremiah chapter 4. Jeremiah chapter 4. We're not a mighty army as we ought to be. Jeremiah chapter 4 with me, please. We may be strong physically, but spiritually speaking, the church of God today is a very, very weak army. Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 22. Notice here in verse 22, I think it's a condemnation to the people of God. It was a state of the people of God that the prophet's addressing here. And he says there in verse 22, with respect to what the Lord is saying, he says, "For my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish." Sottish. What is sottish? Say, "My people are sottish." Well, sottish means stupid. Sottish means senseless. They just don't have the sense. They don't have any sense. They don't have any Bible sense. They don't have any godly sense. So if you want to quit using the word stupid, which I recommend you do, you use the word sottish. That would be so much sweeter. So you can just tell your children, "You're being very sottish right now. Stop that." Stupid is just so slangish. But I don't want to get sidetracked here, but in old time writings, you will find the word stupid used every now and then. But when it was used very discreetly and very sparingly. It wasn't such an abuse of that word that the way we use it today in so much of a slang way. But we see here in Jeremiah 4:22, he says they are sottish. And so when you think of that word stupid, when you think of that word senseless, they don't have any Bible sense. They don't have the knowledge that they should have. He said they are sottish children and they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good, they have no knowledge. And he's not talking about the heathen here. He's talking about, for my people, they're wise to do evil. But to do good, they have no knowledge. And I bring that up and take us there tonight for a brief moment because, again, we are a very weak army because we do not spend the time meditating, given ourselves to the word of God as we ought to. And so to do good, we don't do too good. We don't have the knowledge because we don't have the word of God working and operating in our lives each and every day. So here again, the children of God, they're wise to do so much else that's going on out there, wise to do evil, but to do what the Lord wants, they're senseless. They're sottish. They don't have a clue, essentially. And that's a bad state of affairs for the children of God to be in. And I know I'm the most critical preacher, you know, on the East Coast, but the truth is you could see the parallel of where we are today, that we're very senseless when it comes to doing good, knowing what the Lord would have for our lives. Back to Joshua chapter 1 there. So that meditating was to be day and night. And we looked at several ways of how we can properly meditate on the Word of God. Hopefully you could repeat them to me, but I just give them to you. We looked at how memorization was one of those ways. We looked at how daily reading is one of those ways. Giving attention to the preaching of the Word of God, and not only giving attention to the preaching of it, which is a blessing, but giving thought to what you have heard. Giving thought to what you have heard. So this work of a Christian, this walk of a Christian, is a full-time job. It's a full-time effort. What do you all have to do? Well, we got a lot to do. A lot to do with regards to concerning the Lord. And we also looked at how music, likewise, can be a help in meditating. Good, godly, proper Christian music. Not the stuff that's trying to compete with the world today. Not the stuff that if you close your eyes and just listen to it, has no distinctive biblical emphasis to it. You can tell the Spirit of God, some people will say, how do you know what kind of music you want to listen to? And sometimes they want you, or they want me as a pastor to say, oh, that's bad. That's okay. That's okay. That's okay. What you don't need is you don't need my opinion. You don't need someone else's opinion. The opinion you need is the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God will guide you properly. Now, I understand that I would seek to help you, but you understand I'm saying if you're sincere, the Spirit of God will bear witness to truth. And that music that's trying to compete with the world is not truth. It's a false spirit. And it's not a spirit that will be portrayed from the Word of God. And the Spirit of God will show you. Now, you don't need to be listening to that. I was just saying that you have the Spirit of God dwelling inside of you, and it'll guide you, and it'll lead you, and it'll tell you far better than I can. Because we all seem to have our opinions on certain things, and we this or that, but the Spirit of God do the job that we need to give us the right discernment in making judgment on what we listen to, and what we don't listen to, and what we watch, and what we don't watch, right? He'll give us that discernment that we need. I want to actually go back and look at verse 7 this evening, but I want us to take a moment to look at a very important word given to us in verse 8 there, pertaining to this meditating. Now, I promise you I have no desire to cut this too thin, and I have no desire to be overly critical of every little thing that's said, but I do want to be as critical as we might need to be to get some very important instruction that is said by one word in verse 8. And if you look at verse 8 with me tonight before we break away from there, but we are going to come back there in another week and talk about the end of verse 8, the prosperous and the good success. But there's a verse that I just want to touch base on it real quickly if I can. And it says there, notice what it says there, meditate therein. Meditate therein. I know this may seem semantics, you know, all that you didn't, but therein is a very important word. It's not just on. Again, you may say, you're just getting too technical. Well, bear with me just for a little bit, and you'll see why. It's interesting how God used that word therein. While meditating on, make sure you do not meditate it out or apart from the book. Take the verse through the book as you meditate on it. So take what you're meditating on, always go therein. Always go through the book with what you're thinking regarding the Bible, regarding a verse. It's absolutely essential you take what you believe the verse is saying and compare it alongside what it says elsewhere. Very, very important. If all we do is meditate on and not therein, we may walk away believing the verse says something that is not supported therein. that make sense? So if all we do is on, then we may end up believing something that is not supported therein. For the most part, the verse will end up going no further than our own experiences of life or our own feelings about that verse. And that's where you get so much false teaching from, and so much false teaching is derived from being just on and not therein. Again, you need to take what you believe the verse is saying and compare it alongside what it says elsewhere. For example, the Bible says, and people will even say it to you, we're supposed to love. Yes, it does say that. But it also gives us the who and the what, the how and the when. It gives us the conditions that we're under, what conditions we're supposed to love. It gives us with what limits and boundaries we are supposed to love. So we need to keep in mind, how does it relate to the whole? It tells us God is love, but it doesn't stop there. God doesn't love everything. And it actually says he is angry with the wicked every day. So while you could meditate on, you still need to meditate therein. With respect to the whole. Now, if what you have determined or concluded about the verse or the idea that you got from it does not match scripture elsewhere, then you came up with the wrong conclusion and the wrong idea. You understand that? Because sometimes you can look at it and you got something, but when you compare it, you realize it is wrong. It is wrong. No matter how good you think the idea was, and no matter how much peace you had about it, it's wrong. And I would tell you by experience, this has happened to me on numerous occasions. And it may not be particular to everyone in the congregation tonight, but just bear with me for a moment. But I always tell people, take that verse, meditate on that verse, memorize that verse, go through that verse. I always believe that you should go to the Bible first before you go to any other book. And I believe you should read that and go over that and ask God to help you see something from there. And then you may go elsewhere. And I do believe that God has given you elsewhere to go to get some help from others who are great men of God and great teachers of the book that God has given us throughout the centuries. But you need to go there first, and you may spend time, and I've been there where I've spent time, and I if you've ever been in my office, you'll see pieces of paper all over the place, and I'm writing down what I think, man, this is good. And then as I study that thing out, I'm like, this isn't good at all. I was so wrong because I went down a trail. I took a word down a path that I was thinking of. And I was like, I was not even close. Not even close. So sometimes that happens, and we need to be willing to recognize that and realize that the Word of God takes precedence over our good ideas. And The Word of God takes precedence over our conclusions on the matter. The Word of God elsewhere may clear that thing up. And the beauty of it all is that the Bible does so often just open that thing up and make it very clear. Now here, just maybe, again, someone here this evening, that doesn't mean nothing to you, but hopefully some of you men, I would just say this. If it doesn't fit, don't make it fit. This is so good. It's got to fit some way. It's just got to fit, man. It's good. Leave it alone. Don't fit. You know what you'll find out? God may show you elsewhere that, you know what, this works for what you were trying to think. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying there's a lot of preachers that stay in the pulpit tonight, and they're making things fit that don't fit with what they're dealing with. And that's a problem. That's a problem. If you think that's so good, I'll tell you, as you read through your Bible, you'll find out that it's probably said somewhere else, and then God will open that up there. Let me say this before I move on. I'm not saying that God can't give you a verse that will personally speak to your heart. What I mean by that is that that verse in your life at that particular time, it was like the font was like, boom. You understand what I'm saying? It's just God is just giving you something of comfort. Or it could perhaps giving you something of, you know, maybe a knock on the side of the head there. But I'm saying this. Just because God gives you something and it ministered to you, you cannot take it from there and then teach doctrinal truth necessarily. Does that make sense? This Bible can be, it's a personal book. And as you read through that, God can certainly speak to your heart about that verse and minister to you. But it doesn't mean from there you can develop a doctrinal truth from that. And that happens a lot of times as well throughout the churches. So we must not use a verse outside of the scope of the revelation of what God said about it in the Bible. And that's why what the Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, it says, much study is a weariness to the flesh. See, when it comes to the Word of God, it's going to take a little bit of time and it's going to take a little bit of effort to understand it. If you teach Sunday school, if God uses you in the future, understand that it's just not something you can just pick up and boom, just make it happen, put it together. It takes some effort. You know, it wasn't uncommon for preachers of many years ago to spend 12, 14 hours in studying each day. Each day, if you ever read the life of Jonathan Edwards, so some of you are familiar with that name, some of you are not, but he's a preacher, I think, in the 1700s, but he would spend 12 to 14 hours a day studying the Word of God. And because he would make sure that it was therein, and before he could speak authoritative on the subject, he needed to do what? Make sure that the Bible spoke authoritative on the subject. You know what I'm saying? So it took time and labor to do that. And I'm not saying that Joshua could do that, nor am I saying that you and I can commit that kind of time to it. But what I am saying is as we contemplate the Word of God, we must meditate therein. We just simply need to look at the whole and the thoughts that I have regarding God's Word have to be in the confines of God's Word. Hope that makes sense. Now listen, if God's word is not your final authority, what you'll find is the voice you think is God's is nothing more than what you wanted him to say and not what he really says. And it happens all the time. Happens all the time. It's not his voice many times, it's your own. And wanting to. So real quickly in verse 8 there, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, meditate therein. So it's an important word. You say, well, preach, I think on could be sufficient. But it is interesting, the descriptive word that God has given there, because a lot of false doctrine, false teaching, misleading understanding of the scriptures comes from a lack of therein. So is it not interesting how God used such a word and how precious it is to just see how God instructs us through these words. Now look back at verse 7 with me, please. Verse 7, what we find is, and the reason why we need to look back at verse 7 for a moment, is in verse 7 we find the parameters given to Joshua regarding the observation of the Word of God. Verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do. Observation, observe, in the manner that is given here, is telling us that it's more than just a casual look. We see there, observe to do. So it's speaking of an action. It's speaking of complying with, to obey. So we find there again, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. And this is what I want to focus on in verse 7 this evening. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. So the parameters are given to us here that we're not to turn, or if you will, initially, we'll deal with Joshua, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. And if I turn, it would be this way for you. Turn not to the right hand or to the left. That phrase is expressive of a strict and close attention to the Word of God without deviating from it in the least bit. Can you not see not to turn this way and not to turn this way? That's the parameters. God doesn't want Joshua deviating in the least bit from the commands from the Word of God. God doesn't want Joshua to be political. He wants Joshua to be biblical. He doesn't want him leaning to one side or to the other. He doesn't want him being leaning to one group or another group. He doesn't want Joshua going by feelings or whether he has peace about it or not. No, I don't want you going to either side, Joshua. Whether Joshua has peace about it or feels good about it, it's not part of the decision making that he needs to do, because I just want, I'm commanding you to observe, to do all, and you're not to turn from the left or right in that matter. But no, you're not to turn. You're to look straight on, and what God wants us to do, and we'll talk more about it as we go through this verse, but what God wants us to do is go what? Straight. God wants us to hit the mark. And it's so easy for us to go this way or go this way, but we don't seem to be as rigid and, if you will, as strict as God would have us to be. He wants us to go straight, straight. He wants us to observe it without deviation. Not even that little bit. If you turn just a little bit, have you turning? Are you turning? It's just this. You turned. Did you not? If just a little, you turned. You turned from it. You understand? The parameters are what? The parameters are very tight. He said, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. I have peace about it. It's not to circumvent what God said about it. Nor does I have peace about it ever justify making a different decision or taking a different course of action because you have peace about it. It don't matter. The blessing of this whole thing is if we would just get in line with the Word of God, in line with the Word of God, it would make it much easier. We don't even have to make judgment on it. God's given us that judgment to make. It doesn't matter whether we have peace about it. It doesn't matter whether we feel good about it. We don't have to worry about that one bit. Joshua, have not I commanded you? Have not to observe, do all. Very, very tight parameters are given to us there in verse 7. Those parameters are given to Joshua. Again, as you could see, he's the leader. Joshua, I need you to hit the mark when it comes to this, and I don't need you to go to the left or to the right. Now, as we compare what we notice in the pages of the Bible is that this principle is applicable not just to Joshua, but to us as his people as well. So turn with me to Deuteronomy. So you go back one book there, Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Look with me, please, at verse 30. We'll start at verse 30. Joshua 5, verse 30. I want you to get the dialogue, the context here. Verse 30, go say to them, the Lord's telling Moses, go say to them, get you into your tents again. Telling the people, get in your tents. Go back to your houses. Verse 31, but as for thee, stand thou here by me, and I will speak unto thee all the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which thou shalt teach them, that they may do them in the land which I give them to possess it. Verse 32, ye shall observe to do therefore as the Lord your God hath commanded you. Ye shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Now, if you're with me tonight and you're paying attention tonight, you would say inside, but preacher, that's talking to who? It's talking to Moses, right? That is talking to Moses. But he told Moses that. But let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. I'm trying to show you that in the Bible, there's a principle in the Bible, and we'll see it again. Not just here, but another place we'll go in a few minutes. But Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 14. It's a principle in the Bible. There's parameters that are established that God wants from our lives to where we stay in line. We stay in line. We don't get out of line. We don't go to the left or to the right. Those are parameters established by God for Moses. They're established for Joshua. They're for us too. In Deuteronomy 28, notice with me please, verse 14. Verse 14. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods, to serve them. The context of Deuteronomy chapter 28 is with specific instruction to the people of God. Deuteronomy chapter 28, that they would not go serve other gods. And he told them there, not to the left, right? Not to the right hand, and not to the left. The people of God were told there. And there's such a instruction given on the word of God, because there are so many things that people want you to turn from one side to another, look at it differently than when God wants you to look at it, and take this position instead of the way God's position is. And what happens is when you start taking these positions and you start deviating, going to the left or going to the right, what you essentially end up doing, we might not get there tonight, but essentially what you end up doing is serving other gods. You understand that? Because what you end up doing is you're not serving Him in the manner that He wants you to. And He's saying, don't turn to the right hand, to the left hand, to go and to serve other gods. Because that, what the pressure is, and we deal with this week after week, the pressure is that you and I would not live a life that would glorify God to the utmost. To the utmost, in every way that our lives would glorify Him, would magnify Him, would just point to Him and His magnificence and His glory. And so what Satan will endeavor to do is to get us to go to the left or to the right. And we may not go too far, but what Satan's doing is he's getting an inch. He's just trying to get some ground, and he's trying to get us to deviate. To deviate from the Word of God. So that our God doesn't get all the glory that He deserves. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. So, with respect to us tonight, with respect to us in 2020, the same holds true for the people of God of every generation. God doesn't want us to be political either. He wants us to be what? Biblical. God doesn't want us leaning one way or the other way. God doesn't want us being leaning towards this group or to that group. God wants us to be biblical. He wants us to be in line with His Word. He doesn't want us going by peace. He doesn't want us going by feeling either. He wants us to go by the book, just like he wanted Joshua to go by the book. And you look at Joshua 1 in verse 7, it says there, according to all the law. You go by the book. Verse 8, according to all that is written in the law. According to all that is written in the law. He wants us to go by the book. So we're told there, turn not from. Turn not from the word of God. Now listen, error comes from either side. It comes from either side. God wants us as his children to be dead center. And the only way that we can be dead center is to go by all. What I see, and maybe you don't see it in the same manner, but something I see is an interesting trend in professing Christianity is we are either left or right, we're either liberal or conservative, but we're not straight and we're not biblical. That's where Christianity is in many ways tonight. I would say to you tonight that it's easier to be conservative than it is to be scriptural. And the devil knows that. Now, some may say, oh, preacher, you don't know. I wore my red hat the other day and they jumped all over me. It was almost a near riot. I mean, preacher, that may be the case. That may be the case. But here's the thing when it comes to your personal walk. When it comes to your personal walk. You can be conservative in your views, but not be biblical. You can be conservative in your views, but never have to confront yourself. Never have to confront your own heart. Never have to confront your own attitude and feel pretty good about it because you're against the bad stuff. Do you not see that? That's where we are in so many ways in our churches tonight. We have a conservative view. We're against the bad stuff. But that doesn't mean we have a biblical view. People do this all the time. You may be thinking of someone right now. I know something comes to my mind right now. Man, I'll tell you what, they're against they're conservative and they're against that. But I'll tell you what, there's not a lick of biblical in them. When it comes to biblical views, they shy away from that. Their life is not surrounded by biblical views. They may have some conservative views, but it's not biblical. It's not a biblical life. It's not a biblical home. When you're biblical and when you're scriptural, it gets you where you are at. The Pharisees may have been closer than the other group was. They sat in Moses' seat. They complied with the Sabbath. But they were no better.
The Bible tells us that their heart was far from Him. It's always easier to get into some ism or to side with some group than it is to get in what God has set up. And the devil knows that. What God has set up is that we deal with our own heart and we come face to face with our own responsibility and our own accountability. It's easier to be conservative and look out at the other issues, but never face self issues. That's where we are. It's easier to look down upon everything else that is going on and never look within at what is going on. So easy. Proverbs chapter 4. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 4. We think because we're conservative, we're hot, we're something special. We're not like them liberals. We're not like that crowd. That's where Christianity is tonight. We have this view about, you know, we're not going to let up this. But you don't have a biblical view. Don't have a biblical view. You may be conservative, but that don't mean you're biblical. Proverbs 4, verse 20. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Right? Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Amen. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Verse 27, turn not to the right hand, nor to the left, remove thy foot from evil. We find there in the book of Proverbs, we're told once again about the responsibility that we have to be biblical, to be scriptural. Imbalance, either side you go, is still in balance and it's displeasing to God. God wants me and you this evening to be dead on. Let me just finish here and we'll be done. But we must never lose sight that the hope of America tonight is not right wing or any other wing. It's not conservatism. It's getting back to being biblical. That is the problem. That is the root cause of our problem tonight. It is not liberalism, and it is not because they're not more conservative. It's because we are not biblical. That is the problem. As the old-time preacher says, it's back to the Bible or back to the jungle. Said that many years ago. We don't need more conservative views tonight. We need more biblical views and we need more biblical obedience. We're told in Proverbs chapter 14 that righteousness exalteth a nation. Righteousness exalteth a nation, not conservatism. You say you're against conservatism? It don't really matter what side I take on that, does it? It don't really matter what side I take on that. I want to be biblical, right? If I'm biblical, I'll have the right views. If I'm biblical, I'll make wise choices and decisions. I want to be biblical. The truth is, the side that you think is right is not as biblical as you think they are. And what they support at times is not biblical. You know, that conservative side that so many think is the right view to take, it doesn't line up with the Bible sometimes. You know that? You know, they support LGBTQURST. I don't know. You know, all those letters, that you know that they support that? See, here's the persuasion. What the devil wants you to do is, again, attach your heart to anything but the Word of God. Get a grip on anything but the Word of God. And so what happens is, though you may not be taking that view over there, and you're taking this one, you're still being persuaded at times in views that are not biblical. God's against that. God don't support that. That's not the view I want. I want to be biblical. I want to be biblical. Oh, well, they're not. You know why they say they're not against LGBTQRS, whatever the hell that stuff is? You know why they say that? Because they want to be political. We're not looking to be political. And the day that we start looking to be political, we're going to change from being biblical. And churches change because they seek to be political. And preachers change because they seek to be political instead of biblical. One last verse for tonight, Proverbs 8. That's pretty sound preaching, ain't it? It is. It is indeed. It's the truth. You understand there's a big difference. There's a big difference. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 20, talking about wisdom here, talking about God's wisdom. It says, I lead in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of judgment. Not right or left, but right where it needs to be. That's how I lead. So if you're turning to the right hand, back to Joshua 1 and verse 7 there. Let's look at that one last time and we'll be done. Joshua 1, 7. And we'll pick up next week because there's some more to consider about this. But notice there, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. So if you turn to the right, that seems like a pretty good side. Or you turn to the left, some people think that's a good side. Either side you turn to, you're doing what? Either side you turn to, you are turning from. You understand that? You are turning from. And God wants us to be in line, dead on, hitting the mark. That's where God wants us to be. That's some tight parameters there. But that's the parameters that he wants us to strive for and to line up with, is those parameters. We'll talk more, a little bit more about that next Wednesday. Let's go ahead and stand tonight. People say, I don't like that view. Right, because you're fine with conservatism or you're fine with liberalism. You're not fine with biblicalness. You're not fine with. That's the problem we're dealing with today. Amen. Sure do appreciate y'all faithfully being in church on Wednesday night. And I appreciate the Lord giving us a book to guide us. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for church this evening. Thank you for a time of prayer and a time to open up your word and to guide us and direct us and to get our thinking in line with you. We need some help in these areas. I pray that you would speak to each of our hearts tonight and we embrace these truths, take them, make them a part of our lives and seek, Lord, to not go to the left or to the right, but to be dead on. Help us to, Lord, have that heart, that desire to be biblical, to have a biblical view more than anything else. We do pray you would dismiss us with your blessings tonight and your watchfulness. And we ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. Good to see you, saints, tonight.